You're listening to Scratching and Thriving, a lifestyle podcast hosted by two dope professionals who are passionate about empowering people to thrive. I'm Dr. A.
And I'm Brandon. And we are two longtime friends who met about 20 years ago during undergraduate studies. And we took two different paths in life. I'm a healthcare executive and lifestyle guru.
And I'm an educator and entrepreneur.
And we are here to bring you the content that will help you thrive. Ooh, hello. Good day.
Hey, Brandon.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. The time to reset.
It is. It is. It's time to hit pause, reset, redo, whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 2020 was a trip.
It was.
I'm exhausted.
It was. There's a little bit of spillover into 2021, but I think we'll be able to get through it, hopefully unscathed.
Oh, yeah, we will. I'm being optimistic.
Yes.
We will be great. It's going to be the year of new opportunity. We just got to set the pace and the foundation in the very beginning, I guess.
Yeah. So do you set resolutions?
You know, that sounds good. I'd like to. I do. I like to. But realistically, I am not good about doing that. I don't have good consistency.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as consistent as I'd like to be.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do it?
I do. I like to set resolutions primarily because it helps me to be intentional about the year and intentional and acknowledge what it is that I want to happen. So I do like to sit and think about what I am going to change and work on, improve, what I enjoyed about the growth over the previous year. So I do like to set resolutions. Or well, whatever you call them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, you know, you are that very strategic, step-by-step planning type of person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I fly by the seat of my pants. I do, too. I think that's just the nature of being in the emergency healthcare environment is that you would be able to react at the drop of a dime. So anything that you have planned will go by the wayside.
Yeah. And that's pretty fitting because in education, we are a little bit more lockstep and linear in our thinking because it's calendar based, it's progression based. So that makes sense based off of our professions. But a lot of people do set resolutions and they aren't able to keep them. And 2020 was an example. I mean, the whole world just kind of flipped upside down. So any resolution that you had turned into, I'm just trying to stay alive.
I'm survival. The resolution for 2020 was surviving.
Yes.
Because that's all we really did was survive.
Yeah. And I think that's important that when you set resolutions, you are able to be agile and pivot when necessary.
Right. So would you say doing ultra specific or would you say do general resolutions?
I think if you are a pro at setting resolutions and you actually follow through and are consistent, be very specific and have timelines set and make it realistic. I think whatever you do, you could follow the whole SMART acronym, being specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time bound, looking at those five areas. But I do think that the more specific you are, the more likely you are to accomplish it because you kind of set a goal in mind. But you may start off very broad and say, I want to lose weight.
Well, right. And I was just about to go there. So for somebody like me who is not going to stay on task because I'm ADD, I'm all over the place, right? And juggling 100 things at one time. And then I can't do more than one thing at a time. I'm a typical guy. I cannot do more than one thing at a time. So if I'm walking, I ain't chewing gum. If I'm chewing gum, I ain't walking. It is what it is. But I think for someone like me, being specific could be discouraging. So I would say for people like myself, focus on a generalized goal, like losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wouldn't say put a poundage on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you like me, you get distracted. And that hamburger look mighty, mighty good because you're running from place to place. Mm-hmm. And then you don't lose what you wanted to lose. So you get discouraged and say, screw it and stop. Mm-hmm. What I would say is for people like me is just kind of make it general and get more specific, kind of like you said, as time goes on. So if you lose 10 in the first 4 weeks, which is a reasonable goal, it's a little bit of a stretch goal, but a reasonable goal. And then you say, okay, well, I'm going to try to lose 10 more over the next 8 weeks because I know the next 8 weeks will be very challenging for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a better way to do it for my type of person.
And I think it depends on, too, where you are because, you know, you have to unpack that a little bit. If your eating habits are atrocious, losing just simply saying I want to lose 10 pounds or lose weight is not enough. You really have to think about how am I going to change my eating habits. So that may be the first part of the lose weight goal.
Right.
Is really looking at what I'm eating. It may be just getting up and walking 20 more minutes.
Moving. So you, yes.
Right. So the goal really is the end point, you know, but what are all of the steps that you need to do to get to that goal? And like if it's finances, if it's I want to save, well, maybe you aren't able to save because your income coming in does not even cover what you're putting out. So you need to first start to look at that. How can I reduce my expenses?
Right. Slim down your lifestyle because you know, a lot of people like to live that Moet champagne lifestyle on their tap water budget. And I ain't going to even give them beer. I'm going to give them tap water because that's what you can't afford.
Exactly.
And, you know, I ain't always had champagne money. I can tell you, I remember living on, living in a one bedroom paying $400 a month in New Orleans. So can you imagine? You remember them days?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't nothing fancy about that.
No.
Not a thing.
And you know, you cooked and you ate. It's Whole Foods. You go to the big, large produce places, the farms to get food.
Oh, you went to Whole Foods? You were highfalutin. You had mine.
No. So here we have things called produce junctions. Okay. And you can buy a lot of produce very cheap. It's actually cheaper than the grocery store. So finding alternatives to reduce your grocery bill, to reduce any excess spending, look at your memberships. If you're paying for a gym membership and your gym is closed, find something else.
You know what? I had a question about that. So, you know, when all the gyms closed when the pandemic hit, did they refund them for that money?
So I don't have that issue.
I don't either, but I'm just curious. I would be thinking, I'd be mad.
Because that for me was an expense that I cut out a long time ago by working out outside, putting gym equipment in the basement, just so that I could, and then also do virtual workout groups. Mm-hmm. And then I have a trainer, hey, Andrea, a trainer who comes by twice a week. I cut that expense out of the monthly reoccurring gym thing because I would get there and I spent more time talking than I did working out.
But see, you know, you a talker.
Yes.
So when I get to in my focus, I got my music on. I ain't trying to talk to nobody. But I will say I haven't paid for a gym membership in a long time because I have been fortunate enough to live in communities that had gyms attached to them. Mm-hmm. So in the mortgage or in the rent, the gym is included. Mm-hmm. So I have been very fortunate to have that. But if you don't have one, I'm telling you, a walk outside.
Absolutely.
If it's cold, jog. Put on the layers and jog. Because by the time you get through jogging, you will not be cold, I promise you. So there's so many different things you can do. Just get your body moving and you don't have to have that fancy gym membership.
Absolutely.
And it will help you get to the goal that you set, well, resolution, whatever you want to call it, for 2021. So did you see that Good Housekeeping article, the top 55 achievable New Year's resolutions?
I did, yes.
And there's a couple of them in here that I thought was kind of interesting. Some things I would have never thought about.
Like?
Like, you know, drink less alcohol. I mean, you know, that anyway, moving right along to something realistic.
Okay. you need to drink less alcohol.
Okay.
The first step is acknowledging. But for some people, because a lot of people, listen, a lot of people, that became an issue for 2020 because they were looking for ways to escape. So that could be a very real resolution for someone.
It could be. But I'm looking at the stuff like take the stairs. Since we were talking about exercising, let's do realistic things. Take the stairs. And then, you know, I'm the first one to jump in the elevator. I think is a blessing. I think that whoever came up with the elevator is of God. And it's just wonderful.
Well, part of the reason you feel that way is because we don't take the stairs enough.
I know.
I mean, and I think it's really important because those are little ways to get exercise in and get your steps in, things like that. So it's something small, but it can make a big difference.
I did. And I tried it actually the other day because friends of mine went to a restaurant here in Tampa for brunch, New Year's Day brunch. And one of my friends said, well, let me drop you off. Because I walked over there. It's like right across the bridge from where I live at. And I said, sure. And she parked on the third floor. And I said, ooh. Mm. And she went towards the stairs. And I'm sitting there thinking, So I said, okay, well, let's try this. So I got on the stairs. And it was different. I was not as out of breath as I thought I was going to be. But it did tell me that I need to get back in the gym. Like, tough. Another one was like, listen to a novel while you work out.
I like that idea.
I do too, because not only are you working your body, you're working your mind at the same time. I like that. But there's quite a few of them in this Good Housekeeping article.
The one that I really liked was focusing on the mental wellness piece. I think as we start to reopen as a country and people start to go back into the office, for the people who've been working 100% remote, go back into the office, kids start to go back to school 100%, churches start to open back up, stores, malls, casinos, everything, you know, it will still be different. And it will still feel like there are some restrictions in place. And there may very well be some restrictions in place. But I think people focusing on their mental health, their self-care, mental wellness and well-being is going to be so important in 2021. What are your hobbies? If you actually have a mental illness, are you seeking counseling? Are you seeking therapy for that? Are you reaching out and staying connected with your doctors? Making that a priority in 2021 is going to be so important, I think. Everyone should be focusing on it to whatever degree they have to.
Right. And I think the pandemic and isolation alone has been very challenging for people mentally and emotionally. So,
absolutely.
And you know, there's a stigma with therapy, and I don't understand it, because I mean, I could get paid to sit there and listen to somebody talk and give advice. Mm-hmm. And it's basically what it is you're venting, they're listening, they're giving you their expert opinion and giving you ways to handle your issues. It's as simple as that. It's not, they're not sitting you on the couch and psychoanalyzing you. Nothing will be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. The other one I think that resonated with me, and you will appreciate this, is the declutter.
I saw that.
Especially the kitchen one. They talked about how, you know, really decluttering your life and removing things off of your kitchen counters. Everyone knows that's a pet peeve of mine. But having that clear space, and they talk about how when your kitchen is cluttered, it makes you actually eat more. So, you know, that's a win-win to declutter and eat less.
And he was also talking about your entryway to your house. Declutter it, make it calm, because it makes your house inviting and it makes it more like your sanctuary. Because I'm going to tell you, ain't nothing like coming home and not being bothered.
Right. And part of it is not just doing it, the single act of doing it, but finding a way to consistently do it throughout the year so that it becomes a routine.
Right.
So my entryway is constantly clean. My kitchen is kind of my home office, my, you know, the kids' rooms, the bedrooms, everything is, there's a routine for cleaning and keeping things neat and purging things that you no longer need.
Mm-hmm. And see, I don't like clutter. But I don't have a lot of time to do the detail cleaning. Mm-hmm. So I enlist the help from someone else.
Amen.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
There isn't. Okay. And I would encourage you to do so if you need to. For me, it's the dust. So I absolutely have to have someone assist with that.
My biggest thing is laundry. I don't have a problem putting it in the washer. I don't like to put it in the dryer because it's more work, but I'm just saying I will do that. But folding and putting it up is probably the most challenging piece. Because either I never have enough drawers, I run out of hangers. I mean, and but then when somebody else does it, it seemed to go so much more smoothly. Mm-hmm. So I'm starting to think maybe it's me.
You know, having a system is important. I mean, because I don't mind the laundry piece, but, you know, our clothes are color-coded when they're folded and hung up. Listen.
I don't have time for that.
Just to make it easier for when it's time to go. So if you have a pair of jeans, you know, oh, I'd like to wear a blue shirt. Let me look in the blue shirt section. I'm looking for a red dress. I'm looking for a green dress. I like to wear black. It does really make things easier. And it, for some people, that's overkill. Like if you are not that organized, I have a girlfriend. She has a clothes rack in one of her bedrooms. It takes up the entire bedroom because she needs to be able to see all of her clothes. I'm not that person. I know exactly where they are, what I have. It just, it makes it easier for me to find things in the morning when it's time to go.
And I, just a thought. And I understand the end result of that, but I'm going to be real honest. Getting to that point sounds like a lot of work, a lot of work. And I just ain't for it. I'm going to be honest.
How is that possible? It is just you, Brandon.
I am a handful. I am a lot to deal with. So, and I know that. You know, the other one that really struck me, the other resolution, quote unquote, that struck me was be current about current events.
Mm.
Now, that's a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of these current events, are they wear you out. It's exhausting. Stressful. It's depressing. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot. But the way I keep current is I don't necessarily watch the news. I have the breaking news come to my phone. I utilize technology because I have too much ADHD to sit there and look at the television for 30 or 40 minutes to find out what's going on. If I need to know, I scroll on Fox or CNN, NBC, whatever, NPR, whatever it is. I use those apps and I let all the breaking news come to my phone. So, but I still remain current. So that would be helpful for people who want to remain current, but don't feel, have the desire to sit and watch and absorb all of it. Because sometimes I don't even want no details. Just give me the headline. I don't even want no, it don't matter how we got there. Just know we here.
I think definitely professionally, that's a really good one. You should know, even if you don't know world news, political news, although I don't know how you could miss it, you should know what's happening in your industry.
Correct.
You should for sure know what is going on, what's the breaking news, what are the changes, reg changes, best practices, changes with that. You should know that and find a way to keep up with that because that, again, keeps you current, makes you more marketable, and then find ways to contribute to some of that as well. So,
and you also can help educate the people that are not in your profession. For example, with healthcare, I had to learn the CDC guidelines. And it's for number one, to keep up with what was going on from day to day, to keep my leaders and my staff informed, because I was the one informing them about the changes. And also, I had everybody who was not in healthcare was calling me, texting me, what about this? They had questions about COVID, rightly so, because it's new. Nobody knew anything about it. So me, I had to study it. I had to study the vaccine. So it's, I think being current in your professional world will also help spill over to your personal world too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, education is huge. Keep the people educated.
Yeah. So remember, keep your goals smart, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. And you are more likely to achieve your resolutions if you do so.
Yes. And for those ADHD people who can understand and relate to me, go in with a general goal and get more specific as time goes on. That way you don't get discouraged and you're able to reach those goals.
All right, Adrian. I think, you know what? I think that we did preach a word to the folks today.
All right.
Good conversation.
Mm-hmm. And we want to hear how you're thriving.
Right.
So let us know. Let us know. What's your definition for success? What does it take for you to thrive? What has been your experience? We want to hear that from you. So share it with us so that we can learn from your experiences and other people, some of our other listeners and thrivers can learn as well.
Right. And look us up on Instagram, Facebook, and send us emails. Because we do want to hear your success stories. And, you know, we also want to hear those things that you may be struggling with because, you know, we may be young, but we've been through a whole lot of trials and tribulations that we can tell you how to overcome some of these humps. I'm just telling you.